Jesus loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to brag on your pastor and your first lady, brother and sister Brownie. They are such tremendous people. Amen. They're just tremendous people. Amen. We've had them to our home. We've had dinner together and amen, fellowship. And I just love being around them. I don't know why we don't get together more often during the year. But amen. But I thank God for them. I do apologize that Sister Putnam is not here today. Please pray for my wife. The last couple years, she has really been under the gun. And matter of fact, I don't even know if you know this. The end of September of last year, she had gone in because she had some kidney situation for an MRI. And they then took us into the office for the results. And our doctor and his PA were in the room. And they got real somber. And they said, Mrs. Putnam, you have cancer. You have lymphoma cancer in your abdomen. And you know what? We did not fall apart. And I'm not bragging about that. Because you see, we recognize, folks, please listen carefully, this world is not our home. Amen. So they sent us to an oncologist, a cancer doctor, and he had her have a complete MRI and came back and said, yes, Mrs. Putnam, you have lymphoma B cancer, which is uncurable. But he said, I do want to do a biopsy. So from that appointment, that weekend, we were up in Green Bay, in our church in Green Bay, preaching. And that Sunday night, Brother Brownie, the Holy Ghost moved all over my wife. Amen. That Monday morning, that next morning, she said, honey, I haven't felt this good in months. And then that Friday, we had the biopsy taken. And then the next Friday, we had, amen, the report to be given from the biopsy. And we went into the oncologist's office, and he went, he said, I am absolutely perplexed. Everything indicates that you have cancer. But you do not have cancer. I'm telling you, our God is a healing God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Hallelujah. But you know what? We're not all, hey folks, let's be honest here. The last statistic I heard, 10 out of 10 people die. So, I don't want to be negative here today, but every one of us in here, if the Lord doesn't come first, we're going to die. We're going to be pushing up daisies someday. Not really. We're just going to be, they're going to bury this whole thing, and we're going to be with the Lord. Amen. So I recognize that, you know, we serve a God that can do anything. But the most important thing, turn to your neighbor and say, the most important thing is that you're saved, that you're ready to go. Do you realize you don't have to be old to die? Do you realize you don't even have to be sick to die? You just need to be ready to die. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, I just love preaching here. Your pastor was so kind, he says, and he came early. You know why I come early? I don't want to just feed. I want to be fed. And I love your pastor's teaching. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go on here where we'll be here all afternoon. Maybe that'd be okay, huh? I thank God for Bishop Brown that spoke here yesterday, that God bless him and the service you had last night. But how many of you will preach with me today? Amen. That you'll preach with me today. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. And it's going to be kind of lengthy, so amen. I want you to listen carefully to what Peter is telling us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. If you have it, say amen. Amen. That was pretty weak. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Hey, look at there. That's new. Man, I can act like I'm real spiritual up here. I don't even have to, I just know it all here. Blessed. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, has anybody been a recipient of mercy around here? Amen. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved, everybody say reserved, in heaven for you. How many of you have heavenly reservations? Amen. You've got your reservation made. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here. Let's pay real close attention. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ. Now look at this. They're talking about the prophets. Which, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, and that not unto themselves. It didn't happen to the prophets, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You're hearing this afternoon. I want to preach to you this afternoon. In the renewing of your vision of this next decade, I want to preach to you today about the desire of the angels. The desire of the angels. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your hands? Amen. Father, in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, Oh, Holy Ghost, come and fill this place with your glory and your honor and your power. God, we love you and we thank you. God, open up every ear. And I take authority over every spirit that is not of you, God. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. And that, God, you will loose, amen, faith in this house today. And that, God, that you would be glorified and honored and praised. And when it's all said and done, God, I thank you for your works that you and you alone do. To you be the glory, to you be the honor, to you be the praise. In the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Now clap your hands and shout. Shout with a voice. A victory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Amen. Turn around to somebody, shake their hand, look them in the eye, smile real big, and say, hey, he's going to talk about the desire of the angels. And you may be seated. Brother Malcolm, you doing okay up there? Is there anyone here this afternoon that is sincerely thankful and excitingly overjoyed that you are a born-again child of Almighty God? Amen. There's nothing like it. Would anyone here agree with me? That Jesus Christ has bought you and I, so great a salvation. Amen. Purchased by the power of his own blood. Oh, clap your hands and shout unto the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Do you realize that throughout Scripture, we read about heavenly beings called angels? Now, there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. And I won't ask which kind you agree with. But these angels have interaction with human beings. You and I. Whether it be the two angels that met with Abraham prior before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the archangel Gabriel that appeared to Mary about her being the mother of the Christ, or the angel that stood before Paul prior to his shipwreck off the Isle of Malta. These are biblical heavenly creatures called angels in our midst. Matter of fact, to some of you, even this afternoon, you may be surprised and even perhaps shocked, but there is an angelic presence inside this sanctuary right now. Why? Because as we have worshiped Jesus from our hearts, as we have lifted our voices and raised our hands, the awesome touch that we have felt. Choir, that was awesome singing. That was anointed singing. Amen. You see, that awesome touch that we feel is a direct correlation between God's Spirit and his holy angels in this house. Literally, they are here touching each of us that are engaged in wholehearted worship of our King. Again, throughout Scripture, we read about these heavenly beings and their encounters with mankind. And the scripture is very clear, and it points out to us what the primary role of angels are. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool?'" Question mark. And then verse 14, he says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Do we have any heirs of salvation in the house this afternoon? These angels have been sent here today. They have been sent to minister to each of us and for us. Matter of fact, many of us in our lifetime have entertained angels that we were completely unaware of. Sister Snow, who used to be our ladies president, ministry president, many, many years ago, she lived up north, and she was taking a class in Eau Claire, and she lived in Thorpe, Wisconsin. And on her way back, it was snowing so badly, and she hit a piece of ice, and her car veered off the highway, went down an embankment of about 12 to 15 feet. And you couldn't even see the top of the highway. And she was stuck there, and she thought, "Jesus, I need your help now." No sooner, true story, there was a man at her window of her car going, "Ma'am, are you okay?" She said, "Yes, sir." He says, "I see you need some help." She said, "Yes, I sure do." He says, "Well, maybe I can just push you out of here." 15 feet down in an automobile that weighs at least 2,000 or plus pounds. Amen. And all of a sudden, she put it in neutral, and he started pushing and pushed it right up out of that gully and put it back on the highway. And she turned around to say thank you, and nobody was there. I'm talking about angels. Now, folks, we don't worship angels. We just got to understand that they have been sent by God to minister to us and for us. The writer of Hebrews exhorts us to, in Hebrews 13 and 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Oh, how awesome. How awesome it would be if God would just open our spiritual eyes right now so that each of us could fully comprehend what is really going on in the spiritual realm during this anniversary service. Amen. You and I would be absolutely shocked. Praise God. Thank you that you're all here. Thank God that you're all here. Brother James Stewart used to be the superintendent of Ohio on a service at his church on a Sunday night. Amen. God opened up his spiritual eyes. And all of a sudden, the whole auditorium was filled with angels. Amen. Now, you know, when we raise our hands in praise to God, and all of a sudden we feel that touch, you know what I'm talking about, right? We feel that touch and we begin to weep, or we'll begin then to speak in tongues. Well, what he witnessed was people as they raised their hands and the angel came by there and touched their head. That's when they started responding. That's when indeed, I'm telling you folks, there's more of us in here than what you and I can see this afternoon. Do You know, that's exactly what the prophet Elijah prayed when he asked God to open up his servant's eyes. And 2 Kings 6:17 says, and Elisha prayed and the Lord and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elijah. Brothers and sisters, what you and I cannot see this afternoon, and what we don't fully comprehend, is also true of the angels in this room. They too do not comprehend what has and is happened to each and every one of us. What are you talking about, Brother Putnam? You see, what you and I need to realize is that these angels of the Most High respond completely to God's command. Amen. These angelic beings are eternal. Matter of fact, the angels that are surrounding us this very moment have been around since God created them. Even before the creation of man. That's who is in our midst. I don't hear of any birthing angels. And these same angels have all personally, please pay close attention, they all have personally witnessed the results of their fellow angels that at one time served their Creator but fell victim to the rebellious act of Lucifer. It's what happened. Revelation 12 tells us, it's speaking of Satan, but it says, but his tail, speaking of the dragon out of the bottomless pit, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and he cast them to the earth. You see, the angels that are present with us today were witnesses of God's judgment upon those that took part in their rebellion that was led by the devil. But these that are in our midst are those that are totally sold out and have faithfully committed themselves to God. Willfully. Knowing that God means what he says. Somebody give me your attention. Meaning that God, indeed, they know what God means, and they understand when God says something, they better follow through with it. So these willfully obey, everybody say obey, his commands, even though they don't understand what really is happening to you and I. Brothers and sisters, these angels truly desire to look into our salvation. The last part of our scripture text that we read, it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever preached about the Holy Ghost to you? Amen. That was sent down from heaven. How many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this house? Amen. Which things the angels desire to look into. That word desire in the scripture in Greek is epithymelo, which means to set the heart upon, that is, long for. They are longing to understand what you and I have experienced. Brothers and sisters, what perplexes these angels has to do with you and I being saved. Now, catch this. They do not comprehend how that you and I, after having rebelled and at one time in our lives had completely ignored God's word, can I get a witness? I think I read a scripture that says, for all. Everybody say, for all. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. That means you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They don't understand how in the world we had a turnaround and have found grace and mercy in God's sight. Their bewilderment is, how could you and I be redeemed? I've asked myself that question sometimes. All of you that deserve salvation, would you please stand? Huh? When we were not worthy of being accounted as righteous before the Almighty, that is why the angels continue their desire to look into this awesome subject of redemption. Is there anyone here this afternoon that is redeemed? Amen. Once we were lost, but now we are found. Once I was blind, but now I see. You see, the angelic presence here in this sanctuary are desiring to understand our walk with the Almighty. Now, the Lord, in making of the tabernacle in the wilderness, gave us a foresight of this example found in the Old Testament. For on top of the Ark of the Covenant was a lid. It was called the mercy seat. Everybody say the mercy seat. And over the top of that lid was fashioned two brass angels facing one another with their eyes fixed on that mercy seat, symbolically showing us of the angels' desire to look into mercy and forgiveness. They just don't get it. They just don't understand how you and I can be recipients of so great a salvation. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in what kind of places? Well, if we're sitting in heavenly places, doesn't it just make sense that we have the angels of heaven in heavenly places? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Has anybody's life changed since you got the turnaround in your life? Oh, stand to your feet and thank God for his mercy of this salvation. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the author of salvation to as many. Listen carefully, don't miss this. He is the author of salvation to as many as will obey him. Hebrews 6 and 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see, when the Apostle Peter was being ordered by the Sanhedrin council and the high priest not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ any longer, Peter said in Acts 5, he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Can I tell you, in 2019, I don't care what the world tells us and that they think that we should go, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. Amen, church. That's what Jesus said that we would be. We are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Well, brothers and sisters, what are we to obey? Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Well, what doctrine was delivered to them and to us? What did the people ask the apostles after seeing the results of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? We all understand this. Acts 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent. Has there been anybody that's repented in the house? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Has anybody been baptized in Jesus' name? Amen. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise of God is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm here today. To thank God, Brother Brownie, that Rehoboth New Life, for all of these years, has and is still following the apostles' doctrine. Amen. You ought to be thankful that you're in a church, amen, that is still preaching the message that'll get you to heaven and will invite these angels to be with you. Is there anyone here this afternoon that is thankful, overwhelming grateful that you have obeyed God's word by and through his grace and mercy? He has lifted us up, church. He has fulfilled us. He has filled us with his own promise, the very spirit of his being. Yet all the while, the angels are continually watching and ministering to us, yet still desiring to look into that which they don't understand, this great salvation. Church, if these eternal beings that are in this room right now don't understand, and you and I, who don't deserve it, have received it, we should never neglect so great a plan of salvation. Church, please understand, the angels totally understand about being obedient. Everybody say obedient to the word of God. They get it. No wonder the two angels at the tomb of Christ question Mary Magdalene. Luke 24, verse 1, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. You know the verses, I would think, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they enter in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, as these ladies were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now, you may think that's a rough question coming from an angel, but what they said is, don't you remember that he told you that after 3 days that he's going to rise again from the dead? Church, I'm telling you, we got to obey what God tells us that we need to do. These angels were sent right at that time to minister to those sisters. And the angels pinpointed the problem of Mary Magdalene's sorrow. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? This is the part the angels have a hard time understanding, folks. Jesus already had told them that he would arise after 3 days. The angels totally understand the authority of God's word, but the angels don't understand why then that these disciples of Christ would not obey his word and are at the tomb. This is a question that I'm sure that these angels are still wondering. How people just like you and I, who say that they love and follow Jesus Christ, are still trying to find him in places that are as dead as a box of rocks. All of us that are here this afternoon realize that the very spirit of life, Jesus Christ, is in this place. Can I even put it even more personal? I know that he is alive in this place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done through each of us. For his word declares, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive in here. And do you realize what caught our attention is the very presence of Christ in his preached word? That is evident in this assembly. Most of you, and I know myself, we came out of places that only produced dead services. Can I get a witness? Filled with ritual, yet had no life whatsoever. So here you and I, so fortunate to have found him. I'll tell you how it happened. By simply believing and obeying the word of God. God is no respecter of people, church. Jesus is where people are that are in obedience to his word. Am I making sense? And you and I have received exactly what he told us we would receive. We don't have to have, we don't have to have a bunch of religious antics to woo us. We don't have to try to produce fake Shekinah, theater smoke. I just get all choked up. That's not God. We don't need a bunch of lighted candles all over the place to compensate for the lack of God's Spirit. Church, he's here. Why? Because his word says he would be here. For where two or three are gathered in his name. Why would we continue to look for life amongst the deadness of religion of this world? Why would we continue in the deadness of sin? And yet try to serve a living Savior. That is what the angel was trying to get across to Mary at the tomb. Why are you here? He has risen just like he said he would. Their underlying question to these women is, what are you doing here? He's alive just as he said. And once again, 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus led his disciples to the Mount of Olives, And there being assembled, Acts 1 and 4, being there being assembled together with them, Jesus himself commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And they said, is this when you're going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, which must mean Wisconsin. And when he had spoken these things, why they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now look at verse 10. It says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. John, can you see him now? It says, behold, take account of. Two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, I don't know if these were the same two angels that were at the tomb or not, but once again, these angels are seeking an explanation by asking another question. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven when he already told you what to do? Go back to Jerusalem. Amen. Why? Because ye shall receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence. To the serious part of this message, brothers and sisters, could it be that the angels right here in this service could be asking you and I the same question? Why do we continue to just gaze at all the wonders and blessings of Christ and yet don't do what his word has told us to do? For Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Stand with me, church. Stand with me. Musicians, come. And singers, come. Church, listen. Listen to me. The desire of the angels is for you and I to be doers of God's word. And not just hearers only. They may not comprehend redemption. They may not understand redemption. But we do. What the angels understand is the importance of obedience to God's word. And if we will admit the truth, brothers and sisters, we many times struggle at obeying what we know we ought to be doing. Can we sing that song again? You guys did such a great job about Waymaker. How many would agree with me that he is here? Moving in our midst. You see, church, how about it? Let's be honest with each other. How about it? Are you and I reaching out to others? Are we ready and willing to share our testimony of what the Lord has done for us with anyone that will listen? Or are we content to just gaze week after week at the Lord's wonders and yet not get involved in the process? God wants to bless his people. Even right here at this very moment, God wants to bless you, my friend. Would you close your eyes right now? Would you lift up those holy hands to God? God wants to bless you during this anniversary service. All you have to do is simply obey him. Come and receive his goodness this afternoon. If you need to repent, then repent today. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come on and believe God and you will receive. Make your heavenly reservation right now today. And if you need Holy Ghost boldness to obey him, then come on. Come on. I know there's more than just one that needs to be here at this altar right now. Amen. We need him. We need to believe him. We need to obey him. And let the angels that are in this house right now, amen, they'll respond to your obedience, for they know that they have been sent to minister to you, and they watch as you and I receive what they desire to look into. God's amazing grace. Lift your hands unto the Lord. He is here, moving in our midst. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, yes, God. With all your heart, church. With all your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Champion, you're here, moving in our midst. Worship you. Oh, yes, you're here. Hallelujah. Can you close your eyes all over this house and lift up your hands to God? Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. My God. Hallelujah. Worship him.